calling this message Game Changer. I wonder if you've ever felt as though there was perhaps a negative momentum at work in your life. Like you felt as if you were going from defeat to defeat to defeat. Maybe something someone said sort of sent you spiraling one way, and then you made a bad decision, and that sort of led to another, a dark place in your heart. I wonder if you've ever felt like you were on a cycle of defeat. Maybe at one point in your life, or maybe at this moment and this season in your life, you feel as though you're going from defeat to defeat to defeat. I feel like God sent me on assignment to let somebody know that this moment can be your turnaround, that this moment for you, for your life, for your marriage, for your future, for your family, for your ministry, for your heart can be a game changer. This can be a game changer. Have you ever thought it was going to go one way and then it went a different way? Have you ever thought it was going to get better, but instead it got worse? Somebody say amen in church. Well, about 10 years ago, my wife and I were coming up on our 10-year anniversary. We really like being married. We're just going to carry on doing it. Come on. About 11 years ago, I'll say 11 years ago, about 11 years, we were dating. And as dating couples sometimes do, we broke up. Come on. It's always kind of chaotic when you're dating. You're always breaking up, getting back together, breaking up again. Well, we broke up. You know, it's kind of like a fake breakup where you just keep talking and hanging out and dating just as much. But, like, technically, your status is broken up. We would have put that on Facebook, but this is back in the MySpace days. Come on, somebody. Old school. Real deal. Where you had your songs picked out. We had broken up, and then she went to Portland. She was in Portland for the weekend. And you know, I was thinking as she was gone, you know, when she gets back, I need the perfect line to just, you know, just to get her back, just to make everything wrong right again. I need the perfect phrase, the perfect line. I'm thinking through my romantic movies. Come on, somebody. And the line I came up with, for whatever reason, was that I was going to, it's terrible. It's embarrassing in church. I was going to say this. When she opened the door, I was going to come over to her house. She's going to open the door, and I was going to say, "You're a sight for sore eyes." Come on, say, like, is that bad news? I don't know, but that's the way I was going to go. So she got home, and she called me, because this is before we text, and she called me, and she said, "Yeah, come on over." And she opened the door, and I was like, "Here comes the line." I said, "Girl, you're a sight for sore eyes." And wouldn't you know it, but leave it to my wife to somehow think that the phrase "sight for sore eyes" meant that you are so ugly that you're making my eyes sore. Who thinks this way? This is my wife, church. So I said the line, and I'm expecting her to be like, just embrace, like hug, like of course, like we love each other, let's be together forever. But there was like a whole different kind of look on her face. I was like, that line definitely didn't land. I wonder, have you ever expected it to go one way, but it goes the other way? Has it ever gone from bad to worse for you? Maybe you feel like it's gone from bad to worse. I've got some good gospel news today. The Bible is full of game-changing moments when God interrupts the flow, when God interrupts the negative momentum that someone's experiencing and lifts their head, and where they might have felt like they were getting pulled downward, they get again anchored into Christ. And because Christ is in heaven and because Christ is our anchor, this anchor pulls us up into hope again, pulls us up into faith again, pulls us up into the expectation that the best is yet to come again. I believe that this moment could be a game changer for you today. When it comes to the momentum of the game, you know, players and announcers and fans, they'll talk about game changers. You know, the game can turn around in a moment. You know, a deep pass, an interception, it's a game changer. And I believe, spiritually speaking, if you're in need of a game changer in your marriage, then this one's for you. If you're in need of a game changer, spiritually speaking, then this one is for you. If you're in need of a game changer because you've been falling victim to some sin in your life that you know has the potential to destroy it, then this one is for you. Joshua, if you don't know, was an epic Bible character. And, you know, the successor of Moses takes over as the leader of God's chosen people of Israel. And Joshua is tasked to to lead the Israelites into their sort of final phase of possessing the land that had been promised. How many know that there's a difference between something being promised and something being possessed? And so they're leading into this final phase, and leading up to chapter 8 that we're going to look at, Joshua and the Israelites have this decisive victory over the city called Jericho. What God says to do, if you don't know the story, is I want you to march around the walls of Jericho for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, I want you to march around 7 times, and then I want you to crank up the worship band. I want you to shout, which, by the way, y'all worship is phenomenal. Come on, can we give it up for our worship team today? God says, march around the walls, shout. They're going to come down, and they win this blowout, decisive, amazing victory over Jericho. And there's this important instruction that God attaches to their victory. God says, watch this. In Joshua 6:19, be careful that you don't covet anything in it, in Jericho, and take something that's cursed, endangering the camp of Israel with the curse and making trouble for everyone. All silver and gold, all vessels of bronze and iron are holy to God. Put them in God's treasury. Next chapter, chapter 7, begins by letting us know that an individual named Achan takes, has been cursed by God, takes some of the spoil from Jericho into the camp of Israel. And what happens is what one person did affects all of Israel. Can I let you know this morning that you have more influence than you think you do? That the decisions you make affect more people than you might think they make? I'm telling you, a decision for Jesus could change your family tree. A decision to infuse hope into your children, come on, can change more lives than you think it can. But Achan makes a bad decision and affects all of Israel. Achan takes some treasure from Jericho, and without knowing what's happened, Joshua gets ready for the next battle, which is going to be the city of Ai. The city of Ai, and he goes, go check it out, send some people out. Says, how's it going over in Ai? Bring back a report. And they come back. Remember, they're off this fresh victory. They come back and they're like, Joshua, yo, Josh, here's the deal. Ai ain't nothing. We don't even need to worry about sending the whole army. Let's send like 2,000-3,000 people tops. Keep in mind, this is out of 30,000 available soldiers. They're like, let's just send like 3,000. And what happens is that they go in with this sort of this swag, this cockiness, like we just came out of Jericho. All we did was crank up the band. The walls came down. Let's go into Ai with just a few of our troops. And what they do is they get their bus handed to them at Ai. Instead of winning a decisive victory, they experience a devastating defeat. What happened? They underestimated the difficulty of the day. I wonder, have you ever underestimated the difficulty of the day? Maybe you went into marriage, come on somebody, underestimating the difficulty of it. Maybe you went into school underestimating the difficulty of it. Maybe you went into a ministry opportunity underestimating the difficulty of it. Can I tell you that we can underestimate the difficulty of the day, but it's impossible to overestimate the goodness of our God? And I want to give somebody holy permission today to go ahead and to do your best and to try and overestimate the goodness of your God, the power of your God, the salvation of our God at work in us. It's dangerous to underestimate our enemy, but watch me, it's impossible to overestimate the goodness of our God. Come on, if 3 of us clap, we all ought to clap. About 3,000 soldiers, which means that 27,000 soldiers were posted up. Come on, watching some Netflix, binging, just chilling. Why'd they only send 3,000? Watch me. Their past success blinded them to the urgency of their current struggle. Their past success blinded them to the urgency of their struggle. I could say it this way. We can get so caught up in the win of yesterday that we forget to engage with the war of today. What I'm trying to say is when it comes to yesterday's victories and yesterday's wins and yesterday's success, go ahead and celebrate. Go ahead and remember it. Give praise to your God. But remember that while the win was a win, don't forget about the war that is. Your enemy isn't taking time off. Neither can you. You should rejoice, but don't relax. You should praise, but don't pause. Go ahead and sing, but don't stand still. So what happens? What happened? They expected a full victory when they were fighting with half a heart. They expected a full victory, but but they were fighting with half a heart. It's like, well, I can't believe I didn't get the raise at work. I mean, like, I show up most of the time, and, you know, like, I'm late a lot. I'll give you that, but, like, I can't believe I didn't get the raise. Were you expecting, like, a big raise when you gave a little bit of effort? I'm not really, like, connecting with the church. Like, I showed up, like twice last month. And, like, no, I haven't really gotten in, like, a group or anything. But, like, I can't. Are you expecting the full blessing of being in the house of God with halftime attendance? We can't expect the full, I can say that kind of stuff because this ain't my church. Pastor Josh can be listening to the podcast. Preach that, preacher. Come on, somebody. We can't expect a full victory when we're fighting with half a heart. And God says, give me your full fight so I can give you my full victory. God wants it all because God wants to give it all. All my favor, God says. All my blessing. All my provision. All my plans. All my purposes. Give it all to me because I want to give it all to you. Somebody say amen in church today. So what happens? Their momentum is lost. Maybe today you feel as though your momentum has been lost. And it says the hearts of the people sank. And they gather around, and the Bible says that they mourn and they throw dirt on their head. I mean, like, it's been bad for me, but I never in my life, it's never been so bad that I'm like, love, Rochelle, get the dirt. Let's throw some dirt on our heads. It's that bad. Well, you know it's bad when you're throwing dirt on your head. It says the hearts of the people sank. What we're going to see is from this moment on, from the place of their most devastating defeat, the Israelites, led by Joshua, run some game changers, and everything turns around. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, well, you know, I appreciate that, Pastor, but I've been on a bit of a winning streak. I've been going from grace to grace to grace. I love that you're in that moment, but don't check out from here on out. Please, if you're in this place today, take some notes for later. That's why we take notes in church, because sometimes it's like finding a Snickers bar in your coat pocket. You find it at just the right time. Come on, somebody. Takeaway truth. Would you write this down in church? Number one, you might need to win the battle going on within you before you can win the battle that's going on around you. What happens in the wake of the defeat is that Joshua turns to God in prayer and cries out, God, what happened? Which is divine wisdom. If you're in a place in a cycle of negative momentum, turn to God and ask God why. There's wisdom in asking God what's going on. And you, of course, remember Achan who took this spoil and brought a curse into the camp. God says to Joshua, Israel has sinned. He says in 7:13, purify the people. Tell them, get ready for tomorrow by purifying yourselves, for this is what God, the God of Israel, says. There is a curse in your camp. You won't be able to face your enemies until you've gotten rid of that which is cursed. God says you can't win the war with a curse in your camp. You see, God will reveal it, but it's up to us to get rid of it. Long story short, Achan is found out. Achan has a bad day. Achan is stoned, buried out in the desert. And this is harsh, but this is an Old Testament picture of what God wants to show us about the curse that might be in our heart, the curse that's in our camp, the curse in our family, the curse in our life. God will reveal it, but it's up to us to get rid of it. You can't win the war with a curse in your camp. It would be like a little bit like, has anybody ever noticed like your car's about to break down? Like, you know something's going wrong? Like, you hear the engine kind of tick in. There's like an unsettling ping. You know, if you're like me, you know nothing about cars, you're just like, I know that's bad. That's not good. It would be a little bit like knowing that your car's about to break down, and instead of taking it to the mechanic, you're like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I can tell something's wrong, so I'm going to go through the car wash. I'm going through, and I'm getting the deluxe package. I'm getting the undercoating. I'm getting the wax. I'm even going to get one of those, like, new car scents. Come on. And then coming out the other side and being like, you know what? It's crazy, but I still hear the ping in the engine. What went wrong? You can't fix an internal issue with an external answer. You can't win the war when there's a curse in your camp. Maybe what you've been praying for God to do for you, God is saying, I will and I can and I want to, but before I can do it for you, I've got to do it in you. Yeah, we can clap for that. Maybe you've been crying out, God, deliver me from the mess I'm in. And God's saying, I will and I can and I want to, but first I've got to clean up the mess in you. Psalm 51, psalmist cries out, oh God, create in me a clean heart, aka clean up the mess in me. It's important to understand the context of this psalm. This was David, who had most recently committed adultery. He looked out the window and saw this woman taking a bath, and her name happened to be Bathsheba. You can't make this stuff up. Come on, God's like, pun intended. Hello. Commits adultery, betrays his wife, betrays her husband, and then instead of repenting, instead of turning from the sin, sends her husband out to the front line of the battle where he was sure to be killed. Here's what I want you to see. David doesn't pray, God, clean up the mess all around me. But David says, God, clean up the mess within me. This is winning the war within. It always precedes winning the war without. We can't fix, come on somebody, an internal issue with an external answer. We have to get real before God and honest before God and transparent before God and cry out, God, create in me a clean heart so that I'm ready to win the victories that you've set out before me, so I'm ready to be part of a city set on a hill, so I'm ready to take rank at Genesis Church and shout it out until everyone hears, come on, there is a Savior, there is a healer, there is a hope. If God did it for me, God can do it for you. Problem, though, is it's so often easier to blame whatever's going on around us than it is to look within us. Sometimes I need to focus on the battle God wants to win within me before I focus on the battle God wants to win for me. Number two, would you write this down? We're going to roll through these. We're going to pray for some people. Game changer, even though you took a hit, refuse to hesitate. Even though you took a hit, refuse to hesitate. Joshua 8:1, God says to Joshua, don't be timid and don't so much as hesitate. Take all your soldiers with you and go back to Ai. See, we can get stuck in hesitation because of our history. We can get stuck in hesitation because we took a hit. Can I plead with you that even though you took a hit, you should refuse to hesitate? That even though you extended yourself and loved people and they turned around and they burned you, don't hesitate. Even though you took a hit, even though you raised your hand and said, yeah, I'll join up, I'll be a part of the team, and it was much more difficult than you thought it would be, even though you took a hit, refuse to hesitate, because hesitation, it leads to this someday attitude. And what I found about someday is that it has a way of never arriving. I say we get rid of this someday attitude and we get ourselves a two-day declaration and we declare today is the day that God has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today I will lift my heart in hope. Today I'm going to love somebody. Today I'm going to extend myself. Today I'm going to believe that God's supernatural power is at work in me. Today I will rejoice. Today I'll praise. Today I'll look to my God. Today, don't so much as hesitate. Take all your soldiers and go back. Go back. Go back, the Bible says. Go back. I want to ask you today, what's your AI? God says, go back to AI. As to say, go back to the place of your greatest defeat. Go back. In order to know victory where you've known defeat, you've got to go back to AI. What's God calling you to go back to? Where have you been defeated? I felt like God was saying to somebody, go back. I went for it, but I got burned. I had a dream, but I was defeated. I went for the opportunity, but I was opposed. I went for it, but I got broken. I went all in, but it didn't work out. You tried, you fought, you hustled, you prayed, you believed God, but you got thrown a loss. God says, go back to AI. Go back to the place that you lost. Go back to the place where it all went wrong. Go back to the vision that you once had for your life. Go back to AI. Don't let the loss of yesterday keep you from the win of today. Somebody ought to say in their spirit, I'm going back to my AI. I know I'm preaching loud. I'm sweating under the prison lights. Are you getting something in church today? We won't know what it is for God to make us whole in, until we've known brokenness. We, if you don't know what it is to be defeated in an area of your life, you'll never understand what it is for Jesus to pick you up, put you back on your feet, and give you victory again. Maybe, come on, just maybe, your greatest victory is waiting for you in the very place of your greatest defeat. Number three, game changer. If you want to see what you've never seen before, you got to be willing to do what you've never done before. Did you write that down? This is a game changer for somebody. If you want to see what you've never seen before, you got to be willing to do what you've never done before. God says to Joshua, this time, bring all your troops. This time, set an ambush. This time, come at Ai from both sides. Have you ever found yourself going through the same routine but expecting a different result? Come on, we all been there. Somebody said that this was sort of like the definition of psychotic. And if that's the definition, then we're all a little bit crazy. Hello. We're going through the same routine but expecting different results. A while ago, for like a whole season of my life, I was parking downtown Coeur d'Alene, and we park on the streets down there. And, I'd always get into a coffee shop, have a conversation with somebody, working on some notes, whatever. And I'd come back to my car, and I would find this parking ticket on my car. Because see what happens in Coeur d'Alene? I don't know how you do it in Spokane. But in Coeur d'Alene, there's this person in this cart. They're sent from the dark one. And they come around in this cart, and they mark your tire. And as soon as you're there for like 2 hours, I'm talking about 2 hours and 1 minute, boom, ticket. And I kept getting all these tickets. I was complaining to my wife. I was like, I keep getting tickets. What's going on? And she's like, you keep parking in the same place, and you keep staying too long. What else would you expect? If we want to see what we've never seen before, we've got to do what we've never done before. I keep meeting losers. Well, if Friday night at the club ain't working, then run a new play. I keep finding myself so discouraged. You can run a new play. Do what you've never done before. Instead of rolling out of bed and back into your anxiety and back into your stress and back into your depression, roll out of bed and meet with your God before you meet with this world. Hear what God has to say about you before you have to hear what your boss says about you or what that well-intentioned but misguided friend says about you. You can run a new play. We got to do what we've never done before. God says, this time. Is anybody in this house thankful that with our God, there's always a this time? God says, this time I want you to go back and do it differently. I'm thankful for this time. I can declare this time I'm not leaning on my own understanding. This time I'm going to see it all the way through. This time I'm going to encourage myself by some people around me. This time I'm going to stay planted in the house even though somebody said something I didn't really like. This time I believe God is going to do something amazing in my life. This time the best is yet to come. I'm thankful that with our God, there's always a this time. Number four, getting ready to land this. You still doing all right? Number four, don't play without heaven's plan. Did you write that down? I'll drink to that. Don't play without heaven's plan. Have you ever gone into something without a plan? It goes wrong really quick sometimes when we don't have a plan. Some of y'all be confused by this story because you're like, I can't believe this, but I'm just not handy. Okay, I don't fix stuff. It's just not what I do. I talk. That's kind of my gift in life. I just talk a lot. Somehow or another, the toilet in the Richner house had this issue with, like, the seat was all just broken off and needed replaced. So I went to the store. I got myself a new seat. I handled that part of it. But when it came to getting the old seat off the toilet, you would think this should be very simple. This should be very easy. Kind of a 1, 2, 3. For me, it was not. I start trying to take this seat off, and I've got my son, my 5-year-old son, with me. He's like my assistant, right? And we're in the bathroom, and I'm trying to take the seat off. But what had happened was the bolt was rusted on, you know? And so I was like, boy, get me my hammer. Like, go get the hammer out of the closet. And so he brings me my hammer. And even my son, my 5-year-old son, had this look like, Dad, I don't think you know what you're doing. Like, should we get Mom up in here? I'm like, boy, I got this. So I gave it a little tap because I'm trying to be gentle. You know, I gave it this little bing, bing, bing. And I'm like, it didn't work. So I'm like, just give it a little more, put a little more sauce on it. So I'm like, psh, 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 Still doesn't work. So I'm like, stand back, son. And I'm like, and the toilet, of course, breaks apart. There's porcelain everywhere. My whole family's standing around me like, I told you so. We get in trouble quick when we don't have a plan. Listen to what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to God, and God will make your paths straight. This is for somebody today. When you're on God's path, you'll be in God's power. Can I say that again? When you're on God's path, you'll be in God's power. Every year for Christmas, when I was a kid, it just felt like every year we would get these tracks of cars that were like, you'd plug the power into the wall, and then there was this little groove that you would set the car, and there's this little needle on the bottom of the car, and you set it into the track, and as soon as in the track, you would hit the trigger, and the car would fly around the track. Does anybody remember these? But as soon as you would take the car, the needle out of the track, the power would be gone. You see, if we're going through this life apart from God's path, if we're off of God's path, we'll be going through this life without God's power. When you're on God's path, you're in God's power. I don't want to live my life and my walk, my relationship with Jesus like, God, well, I've got these great plants. And God, if you don't mind, I'd really appreciate if you show up and you bless my plants. We don't have to go about this walk with Jesus hoping that heaven blesses our plants. We can go about this walk with Jesus knowing that we're already blessed everywhere that the sole of our foot treads upon, because we've gotten on God's path. When we're on God's path, we're in God's power. Giving your life to Christ is like handing over your calendar. Thank God, fill it. God will bring you the alerts you need. God will get you to the place that you need to be. And it's never a question of, is God speaking? It's always a question of, are we listening? It's never a question of, is God leading? It's always a question of, are we following? Galatians 2:20 says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, a.k.a. God filled my I calendar. There's power in heaven's plan. You know, people talk about, well, there's no fail-proof plan. No, that's wrong. There is one fail-proof plan. That's God's plan. It's not a difficulty-proof plan. It's not a trial-proof plan. It's a fail-proof plan. The fail-proof plan. Can I give you one more? We're going to land this. Number 5, don't let up until it's done. Don't let up until it's done. Verses 18 and 19. God spoke to Joshua, stretch out the javelin in your hand toward Ai. I'm giving it to you. Bible says Joshua stretched out the javelin in his hand toward Ai. At the signal, the men in ambush sprang to their feet, ran to the city, took it, and quickly had it up in flames. It's vital that we don't shift into stop because of a failure, but watch me, it's just as vital that we don't shift into cruise control because of some success. Failure wants to convince you to quit, but success wants to convince you to take your foot off the gas. The measure of success wants to convince you to slow down, to slack off, to slide into cruise control. God said, stretch out your javelin. So Joshua stretches out this javelin, and they begin to win this victory over Ai. But watch this, verse 26. Joshua didn't lower his outstretched javelin until the sacred destruction of Ai and all its people was completed. They didn't let up until it was done. I was watching a Super Bowl when I was a kid. I was like 9, 10 years old. Maybe some of you remember this play. I don't remember the teams. I don't remember anything. But I was watching the Super Bowl, and there was this epic catch, and this player, this running back's running into the end zone. We're talking Super Bowl touchdown. This is it. This is the pinnacle of success. They're running into the end zone, and in their thoughts, they had gotten so far ahead of anybody else that before they got to the end zone, they're running in, and they start slowing down. They started the celebration early. You know what I'm talking about? And because they started the celebration too early, they caught up with them, they got tackled, and lost their Super Bowl touchdown. Don't let this be a picture of your spiritual life. Don't let up until it's done. I came to talk to somebody. Don't settle for a few small victories when God has called you to win the war. Hold it up until it's done. Don't settle for a little bit of healing when God has purchased your total healing on the cross. Don't settle for surviving this world when God has called you to thrive in this world. Don't settle for just a little bit when God has given you an abundant life. Don't lower your javelin. I felt like God sent me to church to tell somebody today, keep it up. Keep it up until it's done. Keep your hope up. Keep your faith up. Keep your head up. Keep up your javelin. God is still at work in your life. I'm telling you, our God is a finisher. Our God is a completer. Our God always sees it through. Our God's promises are still yes and still amen. Hold it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Somebody say amen in church today. Would you stand with me to your feet? I want to pray for you.